Diversity and Human Resources and Marketing at Barry Warner.
So, yes, I work in HR marketing at Barry Warner, which is a fairly large residential real estate company here in Chicago. We have about 26 offices in the Chicagoland area. And I work in their corporate offices, and I do everything from recruiting to just working on various projects to enhance the company and make things work more effective and be more efficient. I also work in the marketing department, which is a little bit more recent, and I just mainly work on various projects for them, a lot of the upcoming events, kind of whatever they have going on, I kind of give a hand and help out with. I'm also a graduate student at Northwestern. I'm getting a master's in learning and organizational change, which is kind of an interesting degree. It's sort of considered an MBA alternative. A lot of people do it who are interested in consulting. It's a third organization behavior, a third quantitative, and then a third communication. So it sort of touches on all the various aspects of business, I guess. And then starting in June, I will be working in corporate finance at Chrysler.
I'm Cheryl Roth. I'm a partner in a CPA firm in Skokie. Actually, our firm recently merged into another firm, so we're much larger than we used to be. However, just for purposes of the Midwest, we're still kind of what you call a regional firm. We have an office in Skokie in the River North area of the city and in Des Plaines. I work in the tax area. When they hired me, I was the first person they hired to exclusively work in the tax area. And we built a department. We have about 12 people working under me there. We are a full-service accounting firm. We do everything from what they call our enterprise services group, which would be QuickBooks, and helping that small entrepreneur get their books and their life together and helping them build businesses. We do lots of different kinds of accounting services that large companies would need, compilations, reviews, and audits. If you're somebody's an auditor, we can provide those services. We also give consulting now that's been brought in. And so we have a very broad-based financial services group. It's been a great profession. I've always worked. I started in a large national firm when I was right out of school and eventually found the organization I am in today because it met both my personal and professional goals, which were trying to incorporate being an Orthodox Jew and bringing home a paycheck. And I was able to facilitate that in the organization that I am at currently. And currently, actually, very excited. We hired two from people that I had nothing to do with the hiring process, which I'm very excited about. So for me, seeing that happening, the ability to combine, you know, what my personal and professional goals were is a high priority, and it can be done.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for asking me to be a part of this panel. So I'm Tzipora Galvin. I started from Chicago about 2 years ago. Never in my life thought I'd be doing this. I was a communications major with a focus on advertising in college, and I always had a passion for writing and worked for Johnson & Johnson for a little while doing some internal communications for them. But then I became a homeless teacher, and sort of life took me in a totally different direction until I found Zumba and really wanted to share with the community at large. So currently I have three employees who work for me. They're each certified licensed Zumba instructors. And we provide fitness in the community to the greater community. I don't know if you guys have heard of it yet. And it is, it really started as something that was just fun and exciting that I wanted to share with other people. And now it's really become a job. It's become a business, which is so exciting, and it's great, and we're constantly changing and, you know, trying to keep things exciting for our clientele. We have about 500 people on our email list, and we do a lot of marketing on Facebook and different networking, you know, internet blogs and stuff like that. And thank God it's been very successful. Women have lost a lot of weight. They're excited about exercising in a venue that they feel comfortable with. And I particularly feel that it's been, you know, very beneficial because a lot of firm women wouldn't necessarily go to a mixed gym, and now they have the opportunity to, you know, figuratively and literally let their hair down and you know, exercise in a way that they're 100% comfortable. So, thank you.
we're a smaller firm, we do deal with people who have a lot of wealth. I'm very fortunate that I've been able to work part-time since I started 16 years ago. So I graduated, I got married, I had two children, and then when they went to nursery school, I said, okay, what should I do now? So I went back and got the CPA, and I began to work. But I work about 6 hours a day during the regular year, and then during tax season, which is starting right now through April, and again in October, well, September, October, I work the same hours as everyone else, which are, 12-hour days. So I feel lucky, again, to be able to balance the home life and the professional life together to be able to accommodate being a firm wife, mother, and accountant, and able to do other things I want to do as well on the side. I teach at TI, I give shiurim around the community, so you're able to bring together everything that you want to do while being a professional as well.
Large team that works on all of the various filings, and I have to make sure that everything gets done timely and accurately in a controlled manner.
So, and we'll just, you can refer to the question sheet, and I guess we'll just kind of take turns that you can feel free to share topics that you
working in technology, I would say that half of the skills needed are the technology skill set, and the other half is project management. A large part of most jobs, and certainly technology is no exception, is doing project management. So I have to keep track of all the work that my staff is doing. I have a staff of 8. There are 4 other subcontractors that I have to manage throughout the day. So juggling hundreds of emails, dozens of phone calls, and constant interruptions is just a normal course of my day. And then I have to reach out with my clients on a daily basis. I have to follow up with them on proposals. I have to constantly be advising, making recommendations for them and what their needs are, and be very proactive about it.
Well, it sort of depends. My day sort of varies depending on what's going on in the company. So over the summer, it was a very busy time. I'm sort of basically hired to be more of an internal consultant, and I spent most of my days interviewing various people within the company, from new employees to the CEO to the CFO, to sort of find out where it was that everyone saw the company going, or where the CEO and CFO saw the company going, and how did that fit in line with where the employees felt the company was going. And then also kind of see what were the areas that we needed to improve on, and then what recommendations did I have to make those improvements. So one of the big projects I was working on over the summer was to have a better hiring and a better onboarding program, basically getting new employees onboarded much faster. Especially in real estate, it's extremely important. People don't want to lose their business, they don't want to lose staff, so it's very important that people could roll right into a new company. And we were actually voted the number 3 Chicago workplace by the Chicago Tribune, so that was also another kind of project that I was working on as well. So it all kind of varies with whatever's going on. Right now I'm working more, and things sort of slowed down. We're rolling out our new program that I had suggested. I had given the recommendation for this onboarding program and for this hiring program, and we've spent the past 3 months building it out, and now that it's sort of being rolled out, I'm now working more in marketing on sort of just events and projects that they have going on. So my day, no day is really ever the same for me. I go straight from school to work and then back to school at the end of the day, so it's always running, lots of running.
So I'm kind of trying to think about what I should share with you. Should I share with you what I did 1,000 years ago when I first got into public accounting and my first job out of school, or what I'm doing today, because it really changed quite a bit. So I'll give you a little bit of both. When I first got out of school, worked for Pricewaterhouse. It was a big company, very, very regimented and organized in connection with what they had for staff training and resources that were available and how they trained you and brought you up the ladder. So you were given work, you were trained by people who presumably had skills that you wanted to acquire. And that was my first step out of school, my first foray into the world of public accounting. I found that I wasn't crazy about accounting and auditing. And if any of you are seriously considering the accounting route, we can be happy if you want to call me to talk really about what I see the differences are and what was most helpful for me in building my skill set so that I could move on and maybe be doing the kind of work I might enjoy doing more. I will tell you one thing, that doing accounting, practicing accounting and taxes is much more interesting than learning about doing accounting and learning about, practicing the world of taxation. I mean, worlds are different. If I thought that I was ever going to have to really do all that incredibly boring stuff, it seemed to me, I don't think that I could have finished my college career, so to speak. But they were just like tools that were kind of like building blocks that would enable me to maybe make a decision. I never really thought I would stay in public accounting. I thought it would be a good stepping stone for future things that I would be doing. But my day today looks radically different. I have staff to manage. We involved with a lot of marketing, promoting our firm, meeting with people to see how we can help them build and grow their businesses, training staff, making sure that we have the things in place in our firm to help develop staff currently. My particular career path took me to smaller firms, something that actually worked great for me, something I really enjoyed. And I think that depending upon what your long-term goals are, I think that's something to really think about. You know, where do you see yourself ending up? What kind of accounting and tax services or other types of financial consulting services you want to be doing? Not just what's the best step out of school, but maybe, you know, what is it that I want to have so that I can integrate my personal and professional life together and kind of keep that in balance. But my day doesn't sound too dissimilar in some respects from what I've heard before. You're answering emails, you're responding to clients, you're responding to staff, and I'm really, it's not boring, surprisingly enough.
Okay, my day, I'll walk you through. Gosh, so I wake up at about 5 a.m. That's when I get my most, I don't know, I'm very inspired. 5 a.m., I'm a morning person. That's usually when I do a lot of my writing and communications to my people. You know, when it comes to fitness, people want to be inspired. Why should I show up at 8:30 at night to go and exercise when I have kids, job, school? So I usually come up with, some inspiring thoughts that I like to share with my clients. Then I have 3 children, 9, 7, and 5. They wake up at about 7 a.m., get them ready for school. My kids are, thank God, very independent. My husband is a rabbi of a shul, so he's out of the house by 5:30 in the morning. He goes to teach the Daf Yomi and Minyan, so he is totally unavailable to me until I literally am in the car with my kids on the way to school. So I get my kids ready for school, and lunches, and you can imagine is somewhat a little bit chaotic. Get everyone in the car. I go to do my first job, which is to be a Chumash teacher at RE Crown. I see you every morning. I'm usually in my car after I've dropped off my kids, responding to clients, and I'm sending those last minute emails before I have to put my phone away for about 4.5 hours while I'm at RE Crown teaching. As soon as I leave RE Crown, that's really when my job from Chicago really begins. And it's very similar. I mean, there's a lot of talking to clients, meeting with different people in the community. Different people hear about from Chicago, they want to know, how can we bring it to our community? People downtown that want Zumba class down there from women. There are people in Northbrook that want a class down there. How can I divide myself into 5,000 different people so I can be everybody that everybody wants me to be? But there's also, you know, crisis management, people who, for whatever reason, something displeases them about their experience, or, you know, someone makes too much noise in a class, or someone takes up too much space in a class, so it's kind of like trying to, you know, make everybody happy. And that basically goes until about 3:40, when I pick up my daughter from school, then I'm Ema for the next few hours, and then three nights a week I go to teach my classes, two afternoons a week I also teach classes. I like to be very inspired. I like to inspire my people, so I'm constantly looking into music, trends, fitness. How can I make my classes better? How can I make myself better? How can I be more available to the people? I go to sleep at an obscene late hour of the night. My brain is just constantly in motion for how can I be, you know, better? How can I be more creative? What can I do differently so that people are excited? Like I said, fitness is very fickle. People like to exercise and then they don't like to exercise. Trying to, you know, kind of keep with the trends of what's going on. There's continuing education, so that I'm always trying to, you know, stay abreast with what's going on in the fitness world. I try to take classes so that I can be inspired by other instructors. I have several different licenses in Zumba so that I, you know, can offer different types of classes for children, classes for the elderly, classes for, you know, different, just different respects throughout the fitness world. So a day in my life can be very crazy. Just one other thing is that, like I mentioned, my husband is a rabbi of a shul, so I'm also a rebbetzin. So somehow in that 24-hour period, I also try to tend to my husband and his kairians and, you know, the needs of the shul. We're building a brand new shul. There's a lot of exciting things going on around that too. So I wear many different hats in my days. I go to sleep feeling very fulfilled at the end of the day, but no day looks the same. And I do go into every day, though, feeling very excited and very, like what's coming next, you know? It can be overwhelming. There are days that are definitely overwhelming and like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. But for the most part, I would say I definitely go to sleep feeling like, wow,
tired.
Tired, for sure tired, and but also very accomplished.
Fulfilled, whatever.
fulfilled, right, accomplished, I would say. So, yeah.
Okay, so from what you're hearing from all of us, really it's very much the same, yet a little different, that what we do is not boring. And we go in and we're fielding questions from clients, from other employees, from our superiors, those that work under us, and we're always learning, because in the business world, in accounting, things are always changing. I was like, halacha lahavdil, things are evolving, right? I'm sure you guys have heard the fiscal cliff at the end of 2012. We didn't know what was going to be with the taxation. We didn't know what was going to be, and clients are calling, should I sell now, should I sell later? And we're like, we're working with you. It was very busy, very exciting. You're constantly moving forward and you're learning. We also, from everyone, we're always balancing. We're trying to balance everything that's important in our lives, and it can be done. You need to be a little organized, prioritize, and you know, you may not cook 12 kugels for Shabbos, and that's okay, because you're busy doing all these other things that are super important, taking care of your family, your business, your community, yourself. So it really, it can be done. It can be done. You need to know who you are, what is important to you, what you can say, I'm not going to worry about this right now. During tax season, I can't have so many Shabbos guests. I'm not home to cook because my family kind of has to take that over during that time. So, you know, we have to all work together and see how we're going to manage this. But I think our point all together saying that this certainly can be done, and having a career is a very fulfilling part of our lives as well.
Feeling like I don't have anything new or different to add, because it's a lot of the same kinds of things. So
okay, we'll go to the next question and we'll start at your end.
Oh, all right.
Good idea. What interested you the most about your profession? Why did you pursue it? And also, what is your educational background and any additional training that you went through?
So I will be flat out honest. This is not an exciting story. I chose accounting because I was looking for something that would provide financial stability and I wouldn't have to worry about where I lived to be able to do my job. So I wanted stability and flexibility, and I didn't want to do anything that involved human body parts, so accounting worked. I was in school at the time prior to the however many hours, 150-hour requirement, so I have a bachelor's degree. I have my CPA. That's it. I have no desire to go back to school. MBAs are fantastic. MBA equivalents are fantastic. I don't know how people balance that with everything else, so... That's my story.
Okay, so I have a BS in economics from Stern, and I have a CPA. And the reason I chose accounting was I found it to be something that was intellectually stimulating, interesting. And at the time, I didn't know who I was going to marry. And if I happened to marry somebody who was learning, I wanted to be able to support the family so we could work together. And the truth is, my husband works and I work also, and it's a very good balance for being the farthest our family. And yeah, that's really why I chose it. And at, you know, at the time, it seemed something it was interesting and something that was attainable in a quicker fashion. Because again, I didn't have to get a master's; we just got our bachelor's and took the CPA.
Okay, so I mentioned before that I went to, that my major in college was communications. I went to Stern, and I was always a writer, and I always loved advertising. So I figured it would be a good niche for me. I worked for Johnson & Johnson for 2 years straight out of school, and I did communications for them. I did internal communications, but then I got married and had kids, and I don't know, somehow I became a chumash teacher. But there was always a passion for teaching and always wanting to give over to students, and then this whole thing just fell into my lap, I mean, totally randomly. Unlike, sounds like most people whose career path was very clear and obvious, I started taking Zumba classes, and I had a very significant weight loss, and the woman who inspired me to love exercise was moving out of town, and I had hired her privately to do some classes in the Jewish community, and she was like, you have the gift, and you have to just share it with your community, and I was like, really? Okay, I don't know, whatever. So I got licensed, but I wasn't really sure. Started with 15 people in one of my Shul's homes that we had purchased to build this new building. And over like a course of a month, there were like 50 people in this small little house, and we realized we had to move, and we've been to like 10 different locations. But for me, it was really, there was a lot of passion involved. There was a lot of excitement. This was something that I loved. This was something that I felt like I needed to share with other people. My skill set of communications really helped because it enabled me to sort of share it with the community at large. My position as a Rebbetzin and a teacher and just a public figure in the community allowed me to sort of be in everyone's face without, you know, trying too hard. And just my... I don't know, my overall just wanting to help other people and teaching. The skill set of teaching just also helped enable me to be able to do these classes. So, but for me, it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about wanting to pursue this as a career. It's sort of, I really feel like Hashem just kind of put it in my lap. And it's, Baruch Hashem, been amazing and very successful. So, but it was never, like if you asked me 5 years ago if this is what I'd be doing, I would say that's definitely not possible. So you never know what opportunities will fall into your lap. You never know, might start in one area and then move to another. Hashem sort of guides you and puts you and puts things into your path that enables you to become who you're supposed to be. When I first moved to Chicago 7 years ago, I was just the Rebbetzin of Rabbi Galman, my husband. Now when people meet my husband, they're like, oh, you're the former Chicago lady's spouse. You know, like, it's just funny how things have, you know, sort of evolved for our family because of, you know, because of it. But I would say it's still 100% driven by the passion to want to help other people and help other people get fit and get healthy, or people who are already healthy and fit stay healthy and fit in an environment, like I said before, that they're comfortable with amongst, you know, other Jewish or, you know, women.
So I'm still waiting to get my support. Laura Gelman aha moment. Because I'm working for the sheer inspiration of changing Chicago, which Sephora really does. I'm doing it step by step. And your first name again is?
Shifra.
Shifra. So like the Shifra said, it doesn't sound so exciting, but I went into accounting. My brother was an accountant. My generation was sort of raised, at least from the parenting background, I my parents were wonderful people and everything. Pretty responsible. I wouldn't say conservative per se, but accounting seemed like a good, solid profession to go into, and I always thought it would be a stepping stone or building block for that next thing, for that aha moment that I would have, that it would be a good skill background to have, you know, the skills and background. And I kind of kept navigating within that environment to find my way and try to be doing the work that I like to do. So one of the things I do want to share with you, with kind of maybe in more context with the first question, is that what I'm doing today, again, doesn't look like what I was doing before. And when my children were little, the one thing I really did like about public accounting was that they understood, even though public accounting isn't always the kind of profession that you can just drop your pencil and leave, sometimes you have to rise to the occasion. For the most part, I was able to work set days or hours, or knowing that I would leave, Friday was going to be a short day or however it was going to be, and I was able to do that at those points in time. I didn't work these, kind of says the tax season can be like really expanded hours, but even when my kids were little, my expanded hours were not the expanded hours that other people were working. And I think that was what was really important. Professionally, I worked for places where we had continuing professional education. I took advantage of those things. At various stages in my career, if you'd asked me, would I want to go back to school and get a master's or something, I would have said, not a chance. But believe it or not, now at this stage of my life, I'm actually interested in doing that, and that will be something I will be pursuing. I have to say that just educating yourself every step along the way, as much as you can, to be as knowledgeable in your field as you can, that's just really vitally important. What were we talking about? Well, how you got into it. And I was always waiting to find that other position or career that seemed more interesting than what I was doing currently. And I really found that what I was doing was of more interest than other people's jobs and capacities. One nice thing about public accounting is you're always dealing with other smart people at your firm. You're interacting with really a pretty high caliber of individual. And most of your clients actually are also pretty intelligent. Not all. But you're also dealing with business owners. And I find that my friends sometimes that have gone into different types of accounting positions, they're supervising certain kinds of individuals, and they're not actually able to be as stimulated as I am in connection with problem solving and dealing with business owners and dealing with other professionals.
The reason why I initially had gone into HR, because I think, like a lot of people had said, I felt that I knew I wanted to do something more in the corporate world. Initially I worked in finance in real estate development in New York, and I went to Brandeis and majored in economics and history, and I think right away I knew I was interested in doing something in finance, and I really enjoyed real estate development, but I got married and my husband went to law school in another city, so in another state, so I quit my job and I moved with him. And I started teaching at the day school, and then I actually taught here in Bay Saco as well. And it was good, but I think it's really important to kind of listen to yourself and listen to and follow like your own passions. I really did enjoy teaching, but I always felt that I wanted something more and I wanted something different. And I definitely see working in more of the corporate world, I'm much happier. It's just a much better fit, I think, for me and sort of, my personality and just sort of my interests, it's a much better fit. And initially I decided to go into HR because I felt my sister was actually in HR, and then she worked for a large Bulge Bracket Investment Bank, and then now she works for a large private equity firm in HR. And I saw that it was a really great way to sort of have that balance of being able to sort of be in financial services, but at the same time not work such crazy hours. With my sister, I definitely see she's flying into Chicago every week, and every other week she's flying to LA. So she works for a private equity firm, and things are a little bit different in private equity, especially right now. But initially, I felt that it would be a great way for me to balance sort of work, family, and sort of be in sort of more financial services in that corporate world. But what was sort of going on, which was funny, is that one of the big trends that's going on in HR right now, especially in financial services, and with a lot of the Fortune 500 companies, but especially in financial services, is they actually want finance people in HR. They want people who take in accounting. They want people who can really add management accounting value to those departments. So someone had suggested to me when I was interviewing to take accounting. So I'm also doing the CPA prep program at Northwestern. So I started taking accounting courses, and I was shocked. I really liked them. And I really liked them more than what I was doing in HR. So I fortunately was at, when you go to a school like Northwestern, there's so many opportunities for recruiting. I think that definitely sets, you know, if you do think about graduate school, you want to look at the individual schools and look into their recruiting departments, because that is huge. Northwestern has given me so many opportunities. I've had so many interviews, so many offers with all the top, you know, banks and companies. And I think some of it was, as Sabor was saying, like, sometimes Hashem just guides you. Like, I really didn't think I'd go into finance, but I really felt like Hashem was sort of guiding me there. And I mean, I sort of have a funny story of how I initially got there, but basically it sort of fell into my lap. And I had been recruited for a number of positions, and I ended up interviewing, and I was worried that when I interviewed with an investment bank, and they basically told me, like, you're never sleeping, you're never going home. And I interviewed with a consulting firm that told me I was going to be living in LA 5 days out of the week and then flying back to Chicago. And I was like, I just don't think I can do this. This isn't for me. I can't be. I had a friend of mine who's a consultant, and I was like, I can't do that. I can't be away from home 5 days a week and then first be flying back. And then I started interviewing with some of the Fortune 500 companies, and it was totally different. You know, you're not going to work a 9-to-5. They're like, you'll work 8-to-8, you know, when you're younger in the beginning. And I realized that I could do what I loved and explore finance and work in-house, and not, because you're not dealing with clients, you're dealing with the company and the company's needs, and they tend to know what their needs are, rather than like in investment banking, you might get, you know, need to do valuations at 5 p.m. for the next day at 9 a.m. So what ultimately interested me most with HR was I saw that balance. And then when I saw I could do finance internally for like a large company, I realized I could also have that balance. Maybe not quite the same kind of balance, but definitely overall I felt that I could have a great balance and also really pursue something that I loved. And I just, when I study finance and when I, you know, work on projects that are more financially oriented, it just kind of ignites me. So I think you kind of have to listen to yourself and see what drives you. I talked a little bit about my educational backgrounds. I definitely think that going to Northwestern helped me get to where I am. Both my jobs came from Northwestern. All of the positions that I've gotten, for the most part, have come from Northwestern. The offers that I've had have come from Northwestern. So I think that, you know, I mean, I definitely think that if you do decide to go to graduate school, you definitely want to explore, you know, find out from, if you have friends at different companies or if you know people, you know, constantly network, and you can, trends are always changing. Have them speak to their HR department and find out where they're recruiting from. When I was initially taking accounting classes and liked them, and I was doing a CPA program at Northwestern, I had spoken to a friend of mine who was at PwC in New York, and she just spoke to her, the head of HR and just, or the head of recruiting, and just found out where they're recruiting from. You know, to find out sort of, would this program be enough? Would I need to get a master's? You know, just trying to figure out what's going on. So I think it's important to sort of be on top of the trends and just find out from your friends, to speak with, you know, their recruiting departments and just find out where they're recruiting from. And then, you know, there are other kind of different sorts of training that I've done. I've actually got a certification in project management from the University of Chicago, which was just 4 classes, but I found on every interview I go on, they're always like, oh, wow, so you did the PMP, and you are at University of Chicago doing project management. For whatever reason, they seem to like it. And I've definitely found that accounting has helped me a lot as well, because in finance, a lot of it is all about kind of the bottom line at the end of the day. And so if you can understand statements, even basic accounting, and how the statements flow into each other, you're a very valuable asset.
My BA is from Loyola University, and I didn't have the means to go and get a master's degree, so after college I worked in sales and marketing for 4.5 years, and it gave me a great business foundation, and I kept hitting a brick wall in terms of getting to the next level position, where you really do need a master's degree if you want to be an expert in marketing. I've always been passionate about technology. I'm a people person. I love to fix problems. I love helping people. And I decided that combining those two passions, I was going to get my MCSE, Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer degree, which is a certification. It normally takes about a year to get it. I was able to get it in about 4 months. And in technology, you don't need a master's degree. You can get different certifications depending on the area that you want to go into. And it's faster and it's a little bit less expensive. But in, of course, if you're passionate about it, you can be very successful at it. So I love the quote from Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, who says, if you show people problems and you show people solutions, they'll be moved to act. And I'm very lucky that I'm able to combine my passion about helping small businesses and technology and implement those results-oriented designs every day.
I'm going to roll the next two together a little bit, because we kind of covered some of it in the previous question. But what advice would you have for students interested in your field, and what kinds of professional opportunities?
I guess I would say things like this, where you seek out opportunities to talk to people who are actually doing something that you might be interested in. And my guess is that anyone sitting here today would be happy to have individual conversations as well. I honestly, when I was in school, I was working three jobs and just trying to pay for school as I was going, and so I didn't have a whole lot of time to get involved in any of the like the accounting society or in any of the activities on campus, and it didn't hurt me in the end, but it's something that would have been better if I'd found the time or made the time to do it. I think throughout my career, I've made a point of trying to, I cringe at the thought of networking events, but I force myself to go just to get out there and meet people who are doing things that could be, you know, in that sense of looking for what the next thing might be, if there's something that's going to be more interesting or a better balance, or just finding out from other people that I'm not crazy and some of the issues that I'm dealing with are similar for other people. So just getting out there and talking to people, I think, is important. I don't know that there's anything that I wish I would have known. I think I've been very fortunate that throughout my career, people have been understanding of Shabbos and Yontif. I think I wish I would be more comfortable with this is just the way it is. I think I kind of walk around with a sense of mommy guilt. I have four kids and I work a lot of hours, and right now sort of the balance in our home is that my husband is more the parent on duty and I'm more out of the house more hours than I'd like, and so just kind of dealing with some of that. But I don't know. That's more like a personal issue as opposed to a career, anything that's going wrong. There's nothing going wrong. It's just I'm trying to figure out how to be okay with everything. So I don't know that, I think it's talking to people, understanding what you're getting yourself into, understanding the different options out there, the variety of the kinds of work. I mean, when you say, I would say probably with computers and with business and with any of these accounting positions, there's probably 150 different combinations and permutations of any of these things, and finding the one that's the best fit for what you're looking for. And really, I think the way to do that is by talking to as many people as you can and exploring as many opportunities as you can.
Okay, so 2 points I want to make. One is that so Shipper was saying that, you know, being a mother and being a professional and being a firm woman requires a lot of balance. And you do feel bad sometimes because you can't do certain things. And there are times you're going to tell your boss, listen, I've got a homage party I got to go to, and I'm going to be, you know, gone for a couple hours. But in accounting, there's many different tracks to take. You can go to public accounting, you can go to private, you can go into different businesses. It doesn't have to be the public accounting route. Public accounting, I think, gives a great foundation and basis for business and accounting and people skills and learning how to deal with clients and all sorts of different skills that you need. But as from women, you need to know that it does, I would never say conflict, but it does coincide with Yontif, being Pesach and Sukkot, and there's a major balancing act that has to take place. Because there are years that I would walk into the Seder, literally, tax season would be over 5 o'clock on April 15th, and the Seder began at 6, right? And I would say, what are we having for the Seder? That was for the Seder. Because I wouldn't even know, because I hadn't been home for the past, I'd been home to sleep, but I'd come home very lately, very early, working Sunday, sleeping Shabbos, that kind of thing. So it can be done, but I really just want to make it known that is definitely a balancing understanding that we need to have. In my family, the way we've tackled it is that we work as a team. We're all a team together. There's no specific jobs. So my children make yontif. They're older. They're 20, 19. They're ready. They're ready to, when I first got married, the Shabbos after Shavuot, I called my mom and said, how do you make chicken? Right? So we don't have that issue because they really had to pick it up. My husband, from now through April, will make dinners. And he makes great dinners. I'm not involved in that because I can't. I'm not there. So if you come to understand that that's mitzvah, that's reality, then it works out fine. But you have to go in knowing that that's what's going to take place. The other point I wanted to make is that not only, as Shipper said, is it important to network with people and talk to people in your field, keep learning. Sometimes we think, I finished my undergrad, I finished my master's, and I got it, I got this down. But it's always evolving, it's always changing. There's new laws, there's new techniques, there's new ways to do things. And it doesn't have to be a formal, I'm going back to school. Pick up a journal, read an article, read the business section, but make it a habit so you don't fall behind. You know what's going on. You're ahead of the game. So when you sit down to work, it's not just on-the-job training. You're ready, set, go for the day.
I just jotted down a couple of thoughts. Definitely in terms of networking, one of the things I did with the businesses, through Facebook, I've contacted about 25 other from Zumba instructors throughout the world. So we've got about 5 from Israel, a bunch from New York, a bunch from LA, all over the country, all over the world, to just talk about some of the challenges and some of the rewards that we have found in the business. And obviously it's not particular to Zumba. I mean, if you know other people, I mean, just sitting right here, you have resources in front of you of people to tap into who are in the field that you're interested in pursuing. Talk to them, find out what were their challenges. I mean, just this forum alone provides that. But even beyond that, I think it's been very rewarding for me to be able to talk to women all over the country, all over the world, and say, hey, what do you guys do when you have a client who, and fill in the blank, and it could be in accounting, but in my particular field, it's, who complains about whatever. One of the things I did jot down here, and I worked for Johnson & Johnson, so I worked in a very professional setting, and they were very kind to me as a from person, and they even let me work from home on Fridays. I had a very long commute from New York to New Jersey. But one of the things that I found now, especially from Chicago, is that dealing within the Jewish community is like a whole other monster. It's a whole other machine. So I know many of the women, on the panel deal in professional settings, and that presents its challenges when you're the Jew and you're the Orthodox Jewish woman and what that means for you professionally in a professional environment where people might not have any idea what it means. I remember when I worked at Johnson & Johnson, one day I wore my fall, and the next day I wore my shetel, and they were like, did you dye your hair? Something's different. They have no concept of what that means, and yet can be very accommodating. And then there's also the world of working within the Jewish community, which presents many challenges. You're dealing with your own kind, and very often that can be very, very difficult. People have opinions about you. They have opinions about what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, how you should be doing it. We're an amazing people, but we're also K'shei Oref, dealing with certain challenges you know, within the Jewish community can be very challenging. So I don't know with respect to what each of you are, you know, looking to go into, but it's just a whole other monster when you're dealing with the Jews and our people. And I would say also, in terms of, you know, how does the career compare to what I would have anticipated it would have been like? I think, like I said, it kind of fell in my lap and kind of run with it. Every day is a new day. But I would say that one thing to remember is as many hard and bad days as there are 10,000 times as many good days. And the challenges that we face of balancing, you know, walking in Erev Pesach and like what's going to be, you know, what's going to be is I think what makes us pretty awesome, pretty amazing that we can, you know, balance our lives in the way that we do. And there are hard days and there are long days and hours that you work that are just obscene. And then, you know, you take vacation. Vacation is really important to sort of just, you know, regroup with your family or with yourself. And you know, just kind of try to stay positive even on those days when you're working really hard or it doesn't seem like, you know, the fruits of your labor are blossoming. But everything is just, you know, it's a process. And I would say that that's also something to keep in mind. I'm sure there are days that we have that are like just, you know, really, really hard. And we kind of just pull through and then we have these amazing days. And those are the ones we have to remember.
Also, another category of people that you're going to have to identify with, besides just Brum Jews, are secular Jews, because that those also can be very challenging. Again, I guess Maytet, we're trying to zero in on what we were talking about. We went all over the place a little bit. Just
advice for students.
Advice for students. So I think when I'm thinking about my own career path, I really wish that I had like really had a mentor, a real mentor, somebody who knew the profession I was in and could give me good and sound advice. Like Lahav, you know, find yourself a rabbi. I think that if there's a field that you're interested in, and whether it be somebody on this panel or something, go to them and speak to them and say, how can I best enhance my opportunities in this chosen profession? There are things that I would not have done. I specialize in the tax area, and I maintain today that I would not have. I probably would not have worked at a really large firm out of school. I might have worked more for a mid-sized firm and stayed there. If you're thinking about public accounting, if you are passionate about taxes and you love it, okay, specialize. But I would really think that if you can keep your accounting skills, and I think I would have enjoyed accounting more had I worked for a smaller company versus, you know, spending, you know, 3 months at Standard Oil's balance sheet looking at accounts payable or something. But working for a smaller firm where I could get my hands wrapped around what a person's business was, knowing taxes is really important if you're, you know, walking down that road. But you can be a great tax person and being an accountant. Just for the record, Tema, maybe you'll agree with me that the people who control the book of business tend to be the more influential people in the office.
It's true. They're not always the most savvy accountants.
It's not even the most savvy accountants, but for a tax person to be managing a large book of business, because we are client support people in some ways, it happens, but it's much easier when you're the one controlling the book of business. Now, my parents are first-generation Americans, you know. I didn't have the background or the benefit of talking to people who were in, like, so-and-so, so to speak, corporate America or who've been working in companies. Certain things, like, you can decide what you want to do, ultimately, but at least ask the question. The other thing that I would do is there's certain things that if you really strive and want to be a business owner or you want to be successful in your chosen area, even if your decision is to work through those 3 days a week, try to do the same things you would do if you were looking to make it your full-blown career. I wish I had been networking earlier in my career. I mean, I was juggling with the kids and the holidays and with, you know, homework and there was only X amount of time that I was devoting to my work life and X amount of time that I was devoting to, you know, the home life. Incorporated in that is not just grinding the work out, whatever task your employer wants. You need to sort of be thinking ahead, how am I going to maintain my skill set, not get pigeonholed, grow, even if I'm only working 2 or 3 days a week. I think that's kind of an important thing to think about. I'm not so sure that I was thinking about that enough during my earlier building of my career. So what do I wish I knew it? I had known then?
I wish I had known when I became from that every holiday was around every major deadline.
Yes, I'm trying to make that clear.
Was around filing deadline. But I have to even say, though, looking for good, talented, reliable people. Our firm is always looking for that. They just hire two from people. Now, they're guys. At least these guys won't get pregnant on them, okay? I couldn't say that. But they still hired them, knowing that those would be challenging times for them. They know full and clear. I've been in my organization for over 20 years. If you can bring with you to the workplace your talent, your skill, your enthusiasm, you can find a place for yourself in public accounting. And there's private accounting as well. So what else do I wish I'd known? And also the idea of you've got to stay current. You've got to, even if you take some years off in the workplace, I think it's really important that you be reading journals and keeping your licenses in place. You just don't know what life's going to hand you down the road. And you may just find out that at some point in time, the income that you're bringing home into your family will become vitally important because you just don't know when that can happen. So staying at the top of your game, I don't mean the top, like you've got to be like, make yourself nuts about it. But like Tema said, pick up a journal, read. If you are a CPA, make sure you take a continuing professional education to keep your license up, you know, up and running. I guess some of those things.
Mrs. Rossack, I guess it's from people, even though they know that we miss certain days, they also, I think employers know that we give it our all when we're there. We pitch it. We're not trying to slack off. We show them that we really care and that we will work extra hours, different times, so that, you know, we're team players.
I would say the most important thing, you know, we've kind of talked about it a lot, but, you know, networking is extremely important, but it's not just, you know, one of the most important things I'd say is it's networking with all levels of people. It's not just about knowing executives and people who are, you know, the heads of their group. It's also really important to network with entry-level people because they're going to be the ones who are most familiar with the process that you're going to go through, and they're also going to probably be the ones who are going to know about an opening in their group. You know, I think especially I can say, you know, I graduated college in 2006, and the recruiting process has changed since I was in college. It's changed now. I see it's much more competitive now. You know, a lot of the larger companies are very into whatever schools they have a relationship with as the economy's gotten, as the job market has gotten worse, a lot of companies have just really targeted, you know, stayed with their target schools. It used to be a little bit different when I graduated college. It used to be that, you know, I went to Brandeis, which was not, didn't have a lot of sort of contacts in the business world, but if you went to, you know, if you had a decent GPA, you could kind of get an interview anywhere. It's not like that at all anymore. And the expectations have gotten to be a lot higher. So I would definitely say it's extremely important to network as much as possible. And also because you're going to learn more about different professions. I think had I known more about the different options in finance, I probably would have stayed with it and really pursued it earlier. I sort of thought if I wanted to be in finance, my only options were sort of investment banking or asset management or sales and trading or operations, and that was it. And I thought the first three were going to be too many hours, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to do operations. So I think if I had known how many other options there were in finance, had I spoken to a lot more people, had I spoken to a lot more women in finance and understood their experiences, I think I would have had a very different attitude and pursued this a lot earlier. The same thing is true for HR. I mean, I think, you know, people tend to see HR as being, I think the profession of HR has changed a lot over the past 20 years. I think it continues to evolve, and now they're definitely in finance, and especially in finance, you know, they're HR business partners, they're a partner in the business. I had an internship last year at Google, actually, where I saw very much how much HR is an integral part of their process. They have about 600 people in HR just in their Mountain View, California office alone. You know, and you could just do a lot of different areas, so I think it's really important to just constantly talk to people, network, you know, read journals, just to find out more about the profession, to see, you know, all about the different areas. You know, in HR, you have training and development, you have benefits, you have recruiting, you have compensation. There are just so many areas. You have the consulting side, you have the internal side. You know, in finance, it's the same way. I'm going to be working for a large automaker, and, you know, you have fleet analysis, you have treasury, you know, you have accounting, of course, you have valuations, M&A risk. You know, you have every area of their business has a finance department. So there's just a lot of options and a lot of different paths that you can explore. And just networking, I think, will help you see that. And just lots of different sort of business groups. I know on campus, I've been very involved in some of the business groups, and those help. And then you make relationships with those people, and they help you down the road get interviews and get jobs. So that's pretty much the most important thing. I think one of the other things that people have touched on is that, you know, it's, I worked in New York and I worked in Chicago, and I think working in New York as a firm Jew isn't really that difficult. I mean, you have a lot of other firm Jews that you're working with, especially in accounting and in finance. There were several other firm Jews at my company, and it really wasn't a problem. Every event I went to had kosher food, and people left early for Shabbos. And sometimes people, you know, they might expect you to come in Saturday night or something to work, but it wasn't difficult. Here, it's very different. People really don't understand when you don't get back to them sometimes on a Saturday if they emailed you, and they can be really annoyed with you. And I would say my company is pretty understanding, but they have, like, never, the people I work with have never met a firm Jew before. I mean, they could not understand why once a week we have these meetings, these lunch meetings, and they just don't understand why I don't eat the food there. And, like, sometimes they'll call you out on it, and it's, coming from New York, it's a little jarring. I mean, it's just very different. So that is something definitely to be aware of. It was a little shocking to me. There's, you know, in New York, in the work culture, the firm community has a very strong presence. Working downtown, I haven't found that here in Chicago. I don't feel a very strong firm presence, and it's very foreign to a lot of people. So, you know, it is something to be aware of, but I think it hasn't affected me negatively in any way. If anything, it's kind of been interesting, you know, learning about other people, and they'll kind of learn about me, and, you know, people for the most part are pretty respectful of it. They just aren't as familiar with it, so it's just something to be aware of. And the last thing I would say is, when you're looking into what sort of path you want to go into, this advice was given to me, and I'm really glad it was, is look at the areas that are, you know, cost centers, and look at the areas that are areas that are sort of growing in different companies. HR is sort of a growing field because companies for a long time were looking to cut their HR departments, and now they're seeing that there's a value there, especially with people who can add sort of, you know, sort of combine the HR with the business with the finance aspect. So they are hiring those areas. I was initially, when I was looking into finance, I was very interested in valuations. And I ended up speaking to someone who was a VP in valuations, and she said, don't go to valuations because I've maxed out. Just after 8 years, there's really nowhere to go. It's very hard to move up beyond that. So, you know, I was definitely glad someone told me that. Otherwise, I would have found out in 8 years that it wasn't going to be such a great place, and I wouldn't have anywhere to go. So find out the areas that are bringing in business. You know, definitely look into companies that are growing companies and looking to hire, and look at the areas specifically that they're hiring in. You always want to be able to match your skill set with sort of the job market demands.
I love the quote from Warren Buffett, who's the second richest man in America. He always says, never invest in a business you do not understand. Never invest in a business you do not understand. He just bought Heinz, which is one of the oldest companies in America. I think that advice is applicable also to career choices. If you find a career choice that you understand, that you're passionate about, then the pieces will fall into place. If you invest in a business that you don't understand, or you go into a career path you don't understand, it will be extraordinarily challenging, difficult, and you might fail. And if you're working in an industry that you're passionate about, I'm very passionate about technology. I can read technology magazines and books and attend seminars all day long and not be bored for a moment. That energy is felt around you. My clients feel my positive energy about technology and how it benefits business. My employees feel my energy. Networking groups, everything will follow and fall into place. Make sure you understand what it is that you're going into. Take a little bit of time, as overwhelmed as you are with all your schooling and being pulled in a million directions and the pressure and the stress. Even if you're working with a mentor, the mentor themselves want to feel that you have a great deal of energy, that they're not wasting their time with you. So then you'll find your bliss, and then you'll have the energy to wake up and work the long hours. Some of the panelists here touched on the work-life balance, so I'll just say what my daily mantra is. Every day and all day throughout the day, I try to live my life that in the moment, the most important thing in the world is what I'm doing right now. So if I'm taking my daughter to school in the morning, that's the most important thing I'm doing in the morning. I'm not distracted by my cell phone. I'm not thinking 10 steps ahead. I'm focused on her and about driving safely. If I'm putting my children to bed at night, everything is shut off. I'll get to the phone calls. I'll get to the emails. I'll get to cleaning the house. Right then and there, in that moment, that's my passion. That's the most important thing in the world. And my children feel that energy. So although I work close to a 70-hour work week and I'm away from home a lot, I know that the time that I'm with them, I'm present. I'm in the moment with them. So the time is very valuable. It's not about the quantity of time. It's about the quality of time.
Speaking of time, since we're running late, I think we'll just ask everybody for maybe a final comment if you'd like to incorporate some of the remaining questions about some of the challenging, rewarding aspects of your work, the kinds of people that you work with, any final comments on work-life balance.
I find that whoever I'm working with, I try to have their perspective. So we're sitting here as panelists, I try to have the perspective and think about what are you thinking about. If I'm speaking with one of my employees, I try to have the perspective. I try to put myself in their shoes and understand they just want the quick Cliff Notes answer on how to get the job done so that they can get home on time. If I'm on the phone with one of my clients, I try to have the perspective of they're in pain and they're concerned of how much is this phone call costing me right now. So I find that that has always been my greatest success is I'm able to gain the perspective of the vendor, the client, the employee, whoever I'm interacting with in the moment, because I'm thinking what they're thinking and putting myself in their shoes, I can give the appropriate responses. And it helps a great deal.
I actually think what you said was really important. It's, you know, it's very important to do something that you enjoy. It's also very important to work for a company that you enjoy. I mean, I used to hear people say, oh, you know, find your passion, it's something that you love. I'm thinking, it's, you know, it's work. I love, you know, seeing my husband and, you know, hanging out with my friends. Like, I don't love work, it's work. And it was funny, I was talking to my grandfather, who's the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and I was telling him this, and he said, you know, it's cold work. It's not cold play. If it was fun, it would be cold something else. But you still need to find something that ignites you and you are passionate about. And until I think I really started exploring finance, I didn't really feel that way. So I think you can find something that you're passionate about, but I think especially you can find a business that really you feel strongly about. I'm going to be working for a car company and a very large Chrysler, a large automaker. And I'm really passionate about the company. I really like cars. I think they're really cool. So for me to be able to combine finance and cars is really exciting for me. I also really, you know, am invested in the company. I've seen it kind of go through a sort of pretty rough patch. And then I watched it bounce back and now they're doing extremely well. And I see where they're going and I see sort of their, you know, their partnership with Fiat, and I see all the changes that are going on. And when I was watching this and when I was interviewing them, I saw them as a company that I felt was really going places because I saw the changes that they've been making, and I thought their CEO was a really, really sharp guy. And I saw that, I felt they were making a lot of really great choices, and I saw them overcome this really rough patch to where they are. So I think it's really important to, if you can, work for a company that you feel really good about, work for a business that you feel really good about. And, you know, for me, being able to combine something I really like with finance that I also really like is a perfect balance for me. And I haven't really been this excited about work in a long time. So, I think it's just very important. HR also has been a great field as well because you get to do sort of the all the things that affect the people at your business. And I think that was initially what fascinated me about it, is that every area of a business that impacts people is HR, whether it's their compensation, it's their benefits, it's their work life, it's, you know, just
really even how happy they are, you know, the recruiting aspect of things. There's so many different aspects, and I think that to me, HR touches every aspect of the business. So that initially was something that really appealed to me, and then ultimately I just decided that, you know, finance was really a better fit. So I think finding that profession, I guess, or that path, you know, you can always change your mind, but finding that path that sort of interests you, that lights a fire inside you, that sparks you, because you're going to be doing it every day, so just like it.
That's interesting. When Lisa was talking about being passionate, you can tell you're passionate about technology. And I was trying to think, when I was your guy's age, what was I passionate about? I was passionate maybe of trying to, you know, move on with my life, getting married, having a family. And I have to tell you that my family is still truly my greatest passion. So what do you do if you're not passionate right now? I mean, what do you do if, you know, I think I want to go into nursing, but am I passionate about it? So I remember a friend of mine in college had a roommate whose brother, he got through 3 years of medical school and then quit, and 2 years of law school and then quit, and a few other things. I guess he hadn't found his passion, but there's something to be said for aligning something that doesn't meet or harmonize with your interest. Like for me, public accounting, I talk about taxes, but what I really think about when I'm doing is helping people and helping them in an area that's really important to them. That can make me feel gratified, okay? So you have to kind of align, find something that will resonate with you, and if you don't, if you've made a decision or a path, yes, you may want to rethink about changing some things, because if you can find that, wow, it's really powerful. You should try to find something that resonates with you. I know my daughter has an area that she's really excited about, and I can see how when you can align the two things, a career with something you really love, how you can just be launched incredibly. But you, what if you don't have that? I don't think I had it when I was your age. So part of what I would say is stick with something so you at least get the credentials behind you, and keep asking and exploring, because, you know, look at what someone like Zipporah, with all her combined talents and everything, finally something presented herself and she could take grab of it. But I don't know that sometimes, if I were you guys and I was hearing about how passionate somebody is about even public accounting or HR, I'm not sure that I could say, wow, I can walk out of here. So even if you don't, there's something that attracted you to the field that you're in right now. Find the things that interest you, stay with it. And if you don't find that it's really grabbing you, start exploring, but still move forward if you can in some way, shape, or form. Because believe it or not, as busy as you feel you are right now, this time of your life is probably the most flexibility you'll have to pursue some of the things that you want for yourself in life, professionally and personally. So just wanted to say that.
Okay, I guess in closing, in terms of achieving work and life balance and challenges and rewards, I definitely have not mastered the balance thing yet. I think that, you know, it's constantly evolving. I'm 9 months pregnant, still working 3 jobs. But thank God, I would say, you know, having a good husband, finding a good man. I know that when we're dating, we have like a whole laundry list of things that we're looking for. I remember someone telling me the most important thing is finding someone who is me dose. And I would say, like, I still totally agree with that. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of other things obviously matter, but finding someone who will be your helpmate in life is very important. One of the most important things that I have found since I took on this, entrepreneurial endeavor is having help in the house, cleaning help. I went from having no help when I first got married to having a couple of days. And that, for me, when I can walk in the door, this is obviously down the line once you're married and have children, but walking in the door and having my house feel orderly gives me a sense of like, oh, there is some order in this world. And I think that it's probably hard for you to, difficult to imagine if you don't have a husband and children yet, but get help in whatever way that you possibly can to make your life feel stable when other things are just kind of crazy. And like I said before, I think there are just days that are really rewarding and days that are sometimes challenging. And I keep a record. You know, if you go to my Facebook page for From a Chicago, there are testimonials of women who have been coming to classes and how it's changed their lives. And those are the things I read on the days when maybe I get a lot of complaints or something doesn't go the way that I quite planned for it to go. And it's like that in life. You're going to have good days and bad days. There's always a tomorrow. There's always, you know, something good coming around the corner. And I think that was a great point that you made about passion. Like, we're all really passionate about our professions, but you might not yet know exactly where you want to go and what you want to pursue. But, you know, my husband always says that if he won the lottery today, he would still be a rabbi of a shul. I think he's crazy, personally. And I always thought he was crazy until now I'm doing this, and I see. If I won the lottery today, there is no doubt in my mind. There would maybe be other things that I would let go of. There is no doubt in my mind that I would still be a Zumba instructor trying to inspire people to be healthy and exercise. Like I said before, it wasn't necessarily about the money, although it's definitely come in handy now that I'm doing it. It's so fulfilling. It's so rewarding. And, you know, finding that niche whenever Hashem sends it to you, it is really important to wake up every morning and feel like I am doing something that I really love. I think that's you know, the goal, but to get there, like you said, you kind of just have to create a toolbox of different resources and different people to help you get there. I wish you a lot of luck, and if you have any questions, you can always not just to become a Zumba instructor, you know, but just, you know, business, starting your own business, starting something that you are passionate about.
I guess I just want to say that, you know, being part of a professional world really is empowering, and it really enriches your life because there's another element as to who you are and what you're doing. But as from women, we have to always remember that this is so important for growing, for our minds to be always working. But I have a sign in my office. It's small, it's not large, but it says, a paleo, it has a tefillah that says, Hashem, please give me the power to be mefarnes my family so that I can do your will, so that I can perform mitzvot and give tzedakah. Because that is our major focus here, so that we can live a life of Torah mitzvot and raise our families doing the same. But we have the ability because as women, everyone has the ability to do it in many different ways, and part of the ways that we can do it is to go out to the business world and to make a Kiddush Hashem and to be successful and to grow. And I think that we're very fortunate to be able to do that kind of thing and to be able to incorporate it into who we are as from Jewish women.
Well said. First of all, I would say I believe that the notion of work-life balance is a myth. I believe that each person has to choose what's important to them and has to make sure that they're doing what's important to them. So to Lisa's point about being passionate about what you're doing, and to Yehudis's point about working someplace that you love, and to all of the points you've heard, it's what's important to you, focus your energy there. So I got married and started work very close to the same time, and my husband was in COLO for the first 6 years we were married, and I felt like, okay, and I was in public accounting, and at that time I could feel like, okay, I'm supporting him, he's in COLO, and then as things evolved, so he went into chinuch, and my career progressed, and his career progressed, and he was always involved in, you know, community events and in teaching at different levels within the community, and I was always going to work and going to work and going to work. And at some point I had a conversation with him, like, I just was feeling very very uninspired, because whereas accounting is intellectually stimulating and I enjoyed the people I was working with, there was nothing in it that made me feel holy or there was nothing like tangibly Jewish about it. And so it was just sort of, I'm earning a paycheck. But understanding the point of earning the paycheck, like Tema was talking about, that I was doing it to support my family and being able to go to Jewish schools and for my husband to be involved in education, and the motivation behind it wasn't just to progress in a career, and the motivation wasn't just to you know, earn a bigger paycheck, but to be able to do things with that, to give more tzedakah, to support the family, to pay more tuition, whatever it is, it's that that makes it meaningful. And so I would just say, keep that in mind in whatever you're picking. Choose something that's important to you in all aspects of your life. Do what's important. And keep in mind that going out and working in the wider world has importance to it also.
Should we? Do you mind taking my phone off? So I will come back.
Oh. Yeah.